Rockland, USA.
Welcome, rock stars, from Rockland, USA studios in Washington. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer all your questions, and keep you updated on your path to multi-millions without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig with Amanda, and we are your host. Thank you for joining us. Phone lines are open 24 hours a day at 989-888-ROCK. That's 989-888-7625. You can leave a voicemail or text us with your questions or comments, and we'll play those on the show. And if you're too shy for all of that, you can always email us to podcast@rocklandusa.com. And don't forget to visit our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the subscription links to where you can find the podcast, articles, show notes, everything you always need from the show. How are you doing, Amanda?
I am living the dream. How about yourself?
That's the line I use at work all the time. when people are coming on the plane or whatever, so I'm either peachy or I'm living the dream.
Living the dream.
Yeah, and they just look at me like, what?
Yep.
What's coming up, Amanda?
Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to go through our new segment, Savvy Savings. Then we'll talk about how to avoid charity fraud and wrap up with where you can find a fee-only financial advisor.
Oh, yes. You know, financial advisors is my favorite topic.
Excellent. I don't know how to respond to that, Craig.
Yeah, I don't either. Actually, okay. I was being facetious.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe cut that one out.
It's hard to find anyone I trust. I got trust issues with financial advisors. Is that fair? That's a fair statement. I've seen so many people just get feed
to death. I think you have trust
issues
in general, much less, not just financial advisors, but well, that's a topic for another day.
Yeah, that's a great topic for another day. Hey, tell me about some savvy savings, Amanda.
All right. Savvy savings with Amanda. Well, today's topic is about your water bill and reducing your bill. If you've reduced your bill just $25 a month, which I think is completely achievable, that would save you $300 a year. So a couple of quick tips for you, Craig.
Yes.
First of all, you can install low flow toilets. And what I've learned, because we recently did a renovation, is that a number of counties actually would give you a rebate on your water bill or have other incentives to swap out your old toilets with low flow toilets.
Really?
They will. Yeah, you got to look into it, though. Not every county or not every utility company offers that, but sometimes it's an option. And just doing that swap will save 2 to 5 gallons per flush.
I'm actually getting ready to change out all my toilets. They're the current builder stock American Standard from 2003.
Yeah,
I really want to swap them out. I've never changed a toilet. Is it difficult?
Yeah. Well, it's messy.
Oh. I mean, don't you put like that clay bead around the pipe and just screw it down or something? Or no, it's probably
I hear it's
more
harder
than
it looks. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll watch a YouTube video.
You can watch a YouTube video, and worst case, you can call in an expert. Ugh. But if you don't have it in your budget to swap out your toilets because that isn't a planned expense, then that's totally fine. You can get similar savings by adding. I guess my grandmother used to add bricks to the toilet tank. So anything you can put in there that'll take up space for the water will save you some water there as well.
Okay. I don't mean to be gross here, but if you don't have the water in the tank and you have an older toilet, how do you get the, stuff to go down?
I'm not understanding the question.
Well, no, because if you put like bricks in your tank.
In the
and
tank.
And you're taking up the volume of the water. And I go take a number two
it's still you're still leaving plenty of water in there. You're not filling up the whole tank.
Oh, okay.
It's like one brick. Not
what
all.
If I went to Taco Bell and then I come home?
All right. Pass.
Okay. Pass. Next.
All right. So the next tip is you can add aerators to your faucet. You can pick those up at your local hardware store, and that can save you 17 to 27 gallons per day.
Really?
And these aerators, what they do, you just attach it, install them into your faucet, and they infuse the water stream with some air, and then it also builds up the pressure a little bit.
Wow. That's a lot of water a day.
It is a lot. Yeah. The next tip, you can take shorter showers.
Oh, heck no. Come on, I have limits to what I'm going to do here.
It saves 2.5 gallons per minute. So just 1 minute would save you 2.5 gallons. It also, incidentally, and we'll talk about this in one of our future Savvy Savings segments, the shorter showers saves on your energy bill for your water heater.
Well, I do turn down the heat on my water tank. I did do that.
Another tip, you can use your dishwasher instead of hand washing dishes. Dishwashers use an average of 6 gallons for the entire cycle, and hand washing uses 2 gallons per minute. So if it's taking you more than 3 minutes to wash your dishes, you're wasting water. Now, if you do like my husband and hand wash first and then dishwash, then, you know, you're in real trouble when it comes to your water usage. So speaking of the dishwasher, another tip is to run your dishwasher and your washing machine when the loads are full to help reduce the number of loads that you need to use water for. So no half-filled racks.
Okay, so if there's only two of you in the house, how long does it take to fill the dishwasher up?
Are you asking me personally, or is this a rhetorical question?
Oh, I know. I'm asking you.
Well, it depends.
There's no rhetorical about this. Because when kids leave the house, it takes a while to fill up your dishwasher. I was just curious.
Yeah. So what happens is usually the top rack is full of coffee cups.
Well, okay. That's me.
Yeah. So that fills up quickly. And then the bottom rack takes a little longer. But I have a lot of coffee cups. So sometimes they stop. You know, we have to put them in the bottom rack if we don't use other dishes as quickly. But if Matt's cooking, then we fill up the dishwasher faster.
Okay. That's usually when I run the dishwasher is when I realize I'm out of coffee cups. I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah. I'm not going to have coffee in the morning.
Right. So, yeah. Well, I drink tea usually, but same thing.
Gotcha.
So then the next tip, don't let the, and I think most people have heard this one before. This isn't breaking news or anything, but don't let the water run while you're brushing your teeth or shaving. Mm. Yep. So. Oh, the other thing ran across today. So speaking of Florida, where we have pools year round, you want to put like a solar cover on your pool because you lose a lot of water to evaporation.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. So that's it. Yeah.
I was shocked about the aerators, 17 to 27 gallons per day.
Yeah, that's
crazy. I'm not taking shorter showers. Next to coffee, that's a necessity to start my day.
Well, maybe you're already taking an efficient shower. We don't know.
Oh, I am efficient.
There you go. If you're already down to the bare minimum, there's not much you can shorten it.
Okay, great. All right. When we come back, we'll talk about charity fraud. Right after this, stay tuned. You're listening to Rock on the Money. Welcome back. It is that time of year, Amanda, that everybody wants your money.
Isn't that all times of year?
Well, I know. I am a giving person, but it's very annoying that all the ads on TV, the guy ringing the bell, that's fine. Yeah, it's the door knockers, the phone calls. I mean, I'm inundated by it.
Yeah.
Is it the same in your area?
Well, I don't know because I just moved here a few months ago. We pick up and move frequently enough that I think I never stay in one place long enough for someone to find me. But
you're off the radar. I got you.
I'm off the radar. Yeah. And I don't answer phone calls from numbers I don't recognize. So,
yeah, there are a lot of different charities that are calling, legit or non-legit or questionable. Mm-hmm. And there's certain things that you can do, very simple things you can do to kind of figure out who is who in this game, especially this time of year when everyone wants to give and give up their money to help others. And well, a lot of people want to take advantage of that. So
that's true.
Just as many as there are good ones, there's a lot of bad ones. So how can we tell if a charity is legitimate or what's a scam? The one key thing that you're going to find is scammers want your money quickly. They really want to pressure you to donate that money right away. They don't want to deal with giving you information or answer your questions. They just want you to give that money up and they want to just tug at your heartstrings and try and push you right to the sale and get it done.
Do you have an example of one of these, Craig?
No, I do not because I don't answer my phone. For example, and I'm not saying there are scammers. This is very common with public safety. You'll have like the sheriff's, they'll change the name of the organization to be like the sheriff's organization or the sheriff's.
Oh, yeah. I get that all the time.
Yeah. Police something, when it really has nothing to do with the public safety area whatsoever. But they change the name just enough to get you to send the money, you know, get your credit card and you'll help blah, 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 something like that. I've had that more often than anything. I don't know if it's because I'm public safety and I show up on a phone list that some computer spit out. I don't know. I know a lot of people out there have heard these. I totally ignore all of those.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're scams, but I've heard some of these organizations here in the state of Maryland. I'm in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm like, that one doesn't exist. I've never heard of that one.
And yep, you know, I get those too.
Yeah. People want to help firefighters or police officers. Just ignore those. Ignore those. If you want to give something to the firefighters, just take a pie down in the fire station. They'll love it.
Or the fill the boot that's every year.
Oh, fill the boot. Oh, absolutely fill the boot. That, and everyone knows that's for that's muscular legitimate. Dystrophy. Yeah. You can see them giving the money on TV on Labor Day. I mean, that's a Jerry's Kids thing. That's totally legit.
What else?
Okay, so scammers will also often ask for cash. They'll send a courier. They'll say, look, we'll send someone by to pick up the check, or they'll have you wire the money using Western Union or something like that.
And you know what else I've heard that they do is they'll have you go and buy a gift card and then read the gift card numbers to them goodness. Over the phone.
Okay.
not just for charities, but just for scammers in general.
Oh, because I have a lot of followers on Instagram. My Instagram is at RocklandUSA. I would get a lot of DMs. I get those all the time as an influencer. I hate using that term, influencer. It sounds so, but no, you're absolutely right. Gift cards is a very common one as well. Okay, so another thing that scammers will not do is they will refuse to send you information about the charity, give you details about it, or even tell you how the money is going to be used. That right there should be a red flag. If they don't want to take the time to mail you the information or email it, number one, I would not give out my email address, but they don't want to give you the information. They just want to close the sale.
Just like the Human Fund, right?
The who?
The Human Fund, you know, from Seinfeld. Know. That's what...
yes. Seinfeld. Man, you caught me off guard on that one.
The Human Fund, my favorite charity.
The Human Fund. Yeah, absolutely. So here's some tips on how you should handle charity requests, okay? When they call you, a lot of them are phone calls or they come to your door. Take your time. Just slow the operation down. If they want your money and they're legit, they're going to take their time with you. So ask the caller to send you the information by mail. If they refuse to do that, they are not legit. Most legit organizations will send you a whole pamphlet, booklet about their information. They will send it to you. The old-fashioned way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even scammers can put together a brochure, though, Craig.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But we're going to take our time. And then, if you get requests in the mail, take the time and do your research. There's a great website that you can use. It's called google.com, okay?
That's all you got to do
is go in there and type it in. Just put in the charity name and put in scam and see what comes up.
Yeah, you know where this really comes up a lot is right after a big natural disaster. There are always huge so-called charities that pop up saying that they'll, you know, take your money and help a hurricane victim or something else like that. But
I actually want to do
a lot of those are not real.
I want to do a whole episode just on that. Having done disaster response around the world and seen organizations that you've heard and watched how they operate, I think that's something that I would like to talk a little bit more about. Because seeing the other side of it, of what you think is legit and what really happens, and there are books about it. Maybe I can find the author of some of those and we can do an interview. That way I'm not the one saying
it. That would be great.
Let someone else say what I already know. I gets me out of it. Anyway, if you get requests in the mail, do your research. Is it a real group? What percentage of money actually goes to the charity? There's a lot of companies out there that take a big percentage to do the marketing, and only like 25% of that actually goes to the organization, even as little as 10%. It's really bad. Is it tax deductible? And how do the... Well, yeah. Well, I have a tool later on how you can confirm if it is tax deductible. Because a lot of them will just say it is when it's not. Because they just want to get your money.
I mean, that's becoming less and less relevant now that fewer people are able to use standardized deductions.
Anyone who asks for cash or to wire money, chances are that is your scam. If you do run into anything like this, post it on social media. Let all your friends know that this is going on, because someone else will either tell you if it's legit or it's not.
Plus, grandma follows more of social media than you'd ever imagine. And she's the one who needs the help the most usually.
So here are some online tools, and we're going to have these in the show notes on the website for you. IRS actually has a database of nonprofit charities, and they have a tool where you can confirm if your donation is tax exempt.
Oh, you better believe the IRS is keeping track of who's not paying them taxes.
Because Charity Navigator has 8,000 charities that they have evaluated on quality on a bunch of different things. Also, GuideStar. Have you ever heard of GuideStar?
I have. Yes, absolutely.
I love GuideStar. Out of all of these, GuideStar is my favorite because you can go in there and you can actually look at the financial statements and the charities that you see people talk about on Facebook all the time. You'll actually find out how much that money actually goes to the actual research or whatever the actual cause is. It's funny because I'm not going to mention some of these charities, but some of the firefighters post this one all the time. They do the walks and everything, but you go in there and you find out they spend most of the money on travel, food, all kinds of things.
What they call administrative expenses.
Yes, and it is all detailed on a 990 financial statement and how much the officers are making. It's like this organization is actually all about just employment and working in office. But then you actually see how much actually goes to research. You're like, oh, it's right in the financial statement. It's right there. They tug at your heartstring and people give the money. Just
you know what tugs
careful.
At my heartstrings, Craig, is when I'm watching Animal Planet and the Sarah McLachlan music comes on with these poor little dogs.
Yeah. I've never looked up that charity.
It must not tug too hard, though. I still haven't donated.
Great. Now I'm all sad.
I know.
All right, that's it.
I got to get out my checkbook tonight.
The poor tigers and leopards and
it's
cats.
It's a long commercial,
and...
too, Craig. It's not like just, in standard commercial length. It runs the full gamut.
It's like, it's a whole infomercial.
The whole song.
the whole song, absolutely. Charity Watch, they rate charities on specific criteria, and that's a great way to find any abuse that's going on within a charity. Lastly, I have the Better Business Bureau actually has Wise Giving Alliance. And what they do, Amanda, is they rate charities on 20 different standards, and then they come up with a score of 0 to 20. If an organization doesn't have a score of 20, pretty much goes somewhere else.
Wow, you're only donating to perfection, huh?
I want perfection with my hard-earned monies, Amanda.
Do you want to share with us what some of your favorite charities are?
Ooh.
You don't have to.
I typically do not give to charities.
Yeah.
I give directly to people that I see in need, that I have friends that have need. I know this sounds great, but see, now everyone's going to start emailing me. Like,
I'm just thinking that. Like, you are just asking for some.
No, I pick and choose carefully because.
Then you can see a direct impact immediately,
And there's so many people that fake things. When I used to do a live webcam streaming thing, but back then I was doing radio shows and stuff like that on camera, and there were people that are faking cancer, and we were able to expose it. So we'd figure out where they said they would take pictures in a hospital bed and they would post them. Well, a couple of us like, all right, we're going to figure this out, see if it's legit. Because they're asking for money. They're raising thousands of dollars on a live stream, okay? Mm-hmm. So we were able to call the hospital, found someone we knew that actually worked there. I know some of it sounds like, HIPAA and all that, but we were able to find out that no.
You mean a violation of HIPAA?
Yeah. Oh, it could be. But hey, I didn't give up the information. But at the end of the day, this is like 2008, 2009, we discovered they were completely faking the whole thing. Another place where you see a lot of fraud is on GoFundMe causes. There's a lot of people that I go into Reddit. Are you familiar with Reddit?
I plead the fifth.
What? You do? Or okay.
No. Well,
okay. Anyway, if you go onto Reddit, a lot of them will expose people on GoFundMe. They are faking cancer. Mm-hmm. Someone will say their kid is in the hospital. They need money. And they'll find out, no, their kid isn't in the hospital. I give to things that I know. I give to people I know. And I'm really careful and pick and choose what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, these were great tips here. I definitely am going to take a harder look at where I'm donating my money. So thank you for sharing those, Craig.
You do that, Amanda.
All right. Up next, we've got our social media question.
Yes. And Sarah would like to know, and this is how she worded it. Where can I find an honest financial advisor?
That's a loaded question.
How about we just reword that?
Yeah.
Because I prefer, and so does Consumer Reports and many other people, they recommend that you get a fee-only financial advisor.
Right.
So what is a fee-only financial advisor, Amanda?
I'll go into the reasons, and then you can provide us with that explanation.
Gotcha.
But the reason you want a fee-only instead of someone who's taking a percentage is that they have less to gain by making decisions for themselves in it. So basically, you want someone who has your interests in mind and would make the same amount of money whether they pick one thing over another, as long as it's making you money.
Right. And you'd be surprised how many ways that a financial advisor actually makes money. They get for reselling products from other people. Say a financial advisor is selling products from Schwab or TD Ameritrade or anything like that. They actually get back end money. There's a lot of fingers in this game.
Kind of like a kickback.
There's a lot of kickbacks, a lot of spiffs, as they say in the retail. In answer to Sarah's question, I have two places that I always recommend. The same two places that Consumer Reports recommends, Clark Howard, a lot of these radio guys all recommend these same two locations. Not Dave Ramsey. He does not listen. He has his own little network of people that he makes money off of. So that's a whole different thing. Number one, it's called the Garrett Planning Network. It's a national network of financial advisors and fee-only planners who charge by the hour, similar to like an attorney, Amanda. Yeah. And they answer your questions about life insurance, mortgages, retirement planning, and more. So the Garrett Planning Network, if you go to their website, and we'll have this in the show notes. You just put in your zip code and they all show up there and they have all their information on there. And they have to follow a rigorous statement of being a fiduciary and all kinds of things.
That's important. You want to make sure that whoever has access to your funds has a fiduciary obligation.
And most of these organizational members are CFPs. But some do charge percentages, so you have to really look in there. The other one that I even prefer over Garrett, the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, the NAPFA. So most of these members are CFPs as well. And these are the ones that adhere to a strict fee-only standard. And they do not, and the things that they recommend, they do not sell, which is very key. They get nothing out of it other than giving you the information. Hey, you need to go over here to Schwab or Fidelity to get this and that. That's the best place for the best price. This will fit your specific situation. And they are not allowed to accept compensation in any form from any source other than their clients. That right there is why I would want you to consider going to the NAPFA.org.
So that's why that's what you would do personally.
I would do. Mm-hmm. While we're on the subject, let's do this really quick. There's a lot of consolidation going on in the financial world right now. As of when we're doing this show, Schwab bought TD Ameritrade. That grab of TD Ameritrade was to get the clients. I went over to Schwab. Schwab now has a subscription model for financial advisors. You pay $30 a month and that's it. There's all kinds of different things going on out there. The fees and the prices are dropping dramatically, leaving all these local guys out in the dust. Because unless they're part of what's going on out there, what's happening is the consumer is winning. And anybody that's charging these outrageous fees, if you're still paying outrageous fees, you really need to start looking at Vanguard, who only charges 0.3%, which is way less than some local guy that's still charging one, two, three. Amanda, we just had somebody email us saying they were paying 4% per quarter. They were paying 1% per quarter. That's 4% a year. That's insane. So we'll have all these links. We talked about a lot of links, Amanda. We'll have these in the show notes on the website. So please go consider all that stuff. But man, this was a great episode, Amanda. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You are awesome doing this. And you've never even listened to a podcast.
Nope.
And you're great on podcasts. You're awesome. Well, you're a natural at this.
Good to hear.
All right, everybody. Just a reminder, folks, check out rockonthemoney.com for links to all of the locations where you can subscribe to the podcast, direct links to Spotify, Apple, Google, TuneIn, all of them are listed right there on the front page of the website. Plus, we have all the podcasts hosted right there on the website so you can listen to it. We also break down the podcast to each individual question and make it a separate post so you can easily find what you are looking for. We also have great articles, guides to tell you how to freeze your credit, how to buy a vehicle, everything located on the website. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.